Amen. Those kids are pretty good, aren't they? Jeez, oh man. Oh. All right, we'll have a word of prayer. You know, they're singing a Christian song. I don't know how many people in their audience. That's either China or Korea, maybe Chinese. But that's a Christian song by a group called Selah. And it says, when you lift me up, they're not talking about the girlfriend or the boyfriend. They're talking about the Lord raising them up. And I don't know if you guys know this, but the group Selah, they grew up in Africa. Their parents were missionaries, and they have a lot of songs that are in the native language that they sing. Yeah, and that's an older song, but these kids did that in a land that, if that's China, you know, that's a communist country, and Christianity's not really looked upon favorably, yet they're singing that song to everybody. So it's neat that the Lord's word is getting out, and that's really cool. So anyway, we'll pray before we start here, and let's just close our eyes and maybe take our hats off, and let's just go before the Lord and thank Him for this day, and let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we could be here today in this nice, warm building. We have lights, we have running water, we have food, everything we want. Lord, all the comforts are here, and we thank You. And no matter how bad we have it, Father, we know that in Your hands, we have a better place that we're going to. And this is the worst it will be if we know Christ. And what an awesome thing that is. We thank You, Father, for giving us Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. And Father, we would just pray for the message that Pastor Jim's going to give us. We pray, Father, that You would touch everyone's hearts. Father, we all need a touch of the Holy Spirit. Everybody has some kind of burden. There's not a soul in here without a problem here today, Father. Everyone's got them. We just pray, Father, that the message would touch everybody and it would bring an anointing to this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Jim, here you go.
I have a kid that is my grandson that's not 2 years old yet, and he's from Thailand. I'm wondering if I could borrow that. Anyway, I have a kid from Thailand. In fact, dad and mom just came back from Thailand last week.
I'll make a DVD. How's that sound?
DVD? Oh, my goodness. Oh, joy. Thank you. Thank you. That warmed my heart. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. Okay, well, I got a lot to say. I hope not too long. The title to my message this morning is that we can receive victory over unforgiveness. Victory over unforgiveness. But before I do that, I wanted to talk about some things. Like, sin lies in the unbeliever. Think about it. Sin lies in the unbeliever. Now, does that mean we condemn the unbeliever? No. No, that's what these are for. That's what this is for. That's why we come here on Saturday mornings to tell you about being a believer. Because if you become a believer, you won't have to worry about sin. It says victory. We're celebrating victory. All right, I lost my place already. It's a victory over sin, and the sin that we're having victory over is unforgiveness. We don't forgive each other. I'm not talking about believers. I mean, I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about believers that don't forgive each other. What God's Word says in the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive others as they forgive us. And that's what this message is about this morning. It's about victory over unforgiveness. Jesus, okay, I got to put this up here where I can see it. Jesus offers forgiveness to everyone, especially ones who believe in Him and accept Him as their personal Savior. He endured the cross, dispensing shame, and now sits at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, on His throne. He forgives the sinner and restores him of all sin. We can be restored of all sin. He endured such hostility and finished the race against the evil one, and only ask for each one to. You want to do something with that?
Oh, here. Okay. Sorry. Okay, where was I? I wrote this too, by the way. I should be able to not even read it. He endured such hostility and finished the race against the evil one, and only ask for each one to believe in him. Our biggest battle of sincere from, I can't even read it already, for a winner, our heart, we must believe, in our heart, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ. That God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's the only thing he's asking. He's saying, all I want you to do is believe. We must believe in Jesus, the Son of God. It is by his grace and mercy that we all forgive and become and unforgive others. You know, it's interesting. We pray the prayer of unforgiveness. We pray for forgiveness. I hope you're praying for forgiveness. I hope that you're praying every time you happen to sin. I hope that you're concerned with God and what he has to say about sin. But the answer to sin is forgiveness. And he doesn't want you to depend on him for forgiveness. He wants you to depend on yourself for forgiveness. Because he says, if you forgive others in the Lord's Prayer, if you forgive others as we forgive ourselves. If you're having a problem forgiving somebody who has done things to you that has hurt you and just did things that upset you, if you're looking for somebody to do that, well, start with yourself. Forgive others as you forgive yourself. Forgive others as Jesus forgives them. Because Jesus forgives everyone, even the sinners. He forgives them. That doesn't mean that he just turns his head on sin. He doesn't turn his head on sin. What he does instead is trying to convince you that it's a better life out there if you forgive others as you forgive yourself. So that's just an intro. I got something I want to read too. This is out of a book that I just got a hold of, and I promise you it won't be long. Along with forgiveness, this is titled, Do Not Judge. God wants to empty your heart of judgment. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure of your goodwill. Why do you see the? Okay, I'm going to quit trying to do this. I'm going to quit doing this. I can't read. I'm too nervous. Okay, but my message is not this. What my message is that I can read is that to have victory over unforgiveness, we have to be sorry for the person that we hurt. I don't know if you now begin to search your mind and think, well, who don't I forgive? Or who is the person I am that's having victory over me because I haven't forgiven them? You see, forgiveness is something that you have to do. You can't let someone else beg forgiveness for you, for you can only blame yourself for forgiveness. Now, that's what this thing's all about. Giving up what is right to get even. Giving up what is right to get even. You know, most of the time when we think about forgiveness, that's what we think about. Yeah, I'm not gonna forgive that guy. He don't deserve for me to forgive him. Well, God said it's okay.
You can do that. Forgive others as they forgive you. Unforgiveness does not keep does not stop growing inside. The lack of the Spirit of God is not there when you do not forgive. Unforgiveness causes bondage, a weight to the heart out of control. Unforgiveness hinders our worship. Unforgiveness, the deliverance of willful peace, will forgive, never accept to have an unforgiving spirit, and unforgiveness does not fit the believer. What does that mean? Well, if you say you believe, but you don't forgive, that's not what God wants you to do. He wants you to forgive. He wants to have victory over unforgiveness. Now, the only one that you can forgive is the one who has hurt you. And God wants you to forgive that person or persons. And maybe they take money from you. Maybe they've done things wrong to you. Maybe they have attacked you. Maybe they've done things that you're not supposed to get back on to, you know, to. Unforgiveness carries a bondage. It's a weight too heavy to control. Unforgiveness hinders our worship. Unforgiveness, the deliberate, willful refusal of to forgive, never ceases to forgive. It's an unforgiving spirit. Unforgiveness does not forgive for the believer. Unforgiveness believed in conscious consequences. The spirit of the believer is Matthew 6:13-15. Says, if you forgive others, then my Father will not forgive you. If you do not forgive others, my Father will not forgive you on a daily basis, but will still want us to be right with God. So in order to be right with God, we have to forgive. Pretty simple. Now, I don't know if you think I forgive everybody, because I don't. But the hardest problem I'm having is that when I don't forgive, it lives in me. It's a spirit that lives in me, and it's a willingness for me to dislike somebody or get even with somebody. And that is not Jesus. That is not Jesus. And if what you're here for is, I hope you're here for more than just the food and the clothing, but I hope you're here to hear that Jesus loves you. He loves you with all his heart. With the heart of Jesus, he loves you. He cares about everyone. And he knows who you are. You can't hide from him, because he knows your spirit. He knows the things that you do. He knows your deeds. Does that mean he's condemning you? No, it's not condemning you. He just wishes that you'd get it right. That there's no thing that's gonna give you more pleasing, nor more joy, more happiness than to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's just no way it's going to happen. And if you think you can just go off on your own and you can have grudges against people and argue against people and everything, if you think that's going to do you good, well, get ready, because it won't. You won't have any joy, because what happens with unforgiveness is that it steals your joy. An unforgiving spirit. Unforgiving spirit is willfulness to be an unforgiver. and it doesn't fit with the believer. If you're telling if you're saying to me you're a believer and you don't forgive others as you forgive yourself, then you're kidding yourself. You know, I know that sounds a little tough, and I hope you don't think that because I think I forgive everybody that I do that. I don't want you to think that. All I know is that it says as much to me as it says to you. If you're not forgiving others as you forgive yourself, if you're not depending on others to care about you, to be in service to you, think about others that don't have food. Think about others that don't have money. Think about others that don't have clothing. And if you think about them and you just forget about them, that's the same as not doing it right. And I've heard a lot of people say, the reason why I don't give to Jesus said, or I don't give to Salvation Army, or I don't give to the other places that collect things, clothing and stuff, that I don't give them because they got plenty of money. No, that's not right. You don't give because somebody else gives. You give because you give. So it's not someone else. It's you. And if you are the one that's not giving, then get ready. That's not God's will. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying that in God's word it says to be giving, forgiving. Unforgiveness does not fix that believer. Unfortunately, brings consequences. The spirit of rebellion, the consequences, the spirit of believers. In Matthew 6:15 and 13, he says, "If you forgive others, then my Father will." If you forgive others, then my Father will. And forgive you. God loves you too much to allow you to carry on an unforgiving spirit. Hear that? God loves you too much for you to have an unforgiving spirit. Now, I'm not asking anybody to raise their hand if you have an unforgiving spirit. I'm not asking that. But you know if you have an unforgiving spirit. You know it. And God, Jesus, gives to everyone. In fact, Jesus loves everyone. He doesn't just love you. He loves others. He loves, Jesus said, he loves people who bring clothing here. He loves people that bring food. He loves those that are working back in the kitchen to feed you guys. He loves them. Now, hopefully, everybody back there and everybody here have learned to love Jesus and give to Jesus what is Jesus. Do you have that? Do you give to Jesus what you have for Jesus? Or do you just take and not give? Take and receive. God loves you too much to allow you to carry on unforgiveness, an unforgiving spirit. God loves you too much for that. He made each one of us. Everyone here in this room has been created by God. Now, God created you to live in a relationship with Him. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here this morning. We're here to convince you that you need to have an unforgiving spirit. You need to have a spirit that is a blessing to others, that brings joy into life. You know, I mentioned earlier that one of the things that when I was a young man, before I went to the service, my friends went to a Catholic church, so I went to a Catholic church, and I learned the Catholic prayer, and the Catholic prayer says, "Oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended Thee. I firmly resolve, with the help of Thy grace, to confess my sins, to do penance, and to mend my life forever." And I was just saying that's a prayer that I learned. Then I went into the service, and I ended up coming out and getting married to a Protestant, which we've been married 44 years. The thing is that there's no separation. There's no separation between Catholics and Protestants and Jewish people and all of the other churches that there are. There's no separation because God is God. He is the Father. He is the Son. He is the Holy Spirit. Now, if that's who you're going to serve, if that's who you're going to identify with and have an unforgiving and have a forgiving spirit, or unforgiving spirit, then you will feel joy. You will know what joy is all about. I mentioned to Frank that I would like to get a hold of that video because I have a grandson who lives in my son's house, and he brings him over. He's not quite 2 years old yet, and he is joy. I thank God for him. He brings joy in our house. I'm over 80 years old, I can't tell you what kind of joy that is. My grandson comes and brings joy into our house. I can't replace that joy with anything that I know of physically. There's nothing. I played sports and I know what that's about, and I know the joy that goes with sports, especially winning. But I tell you, there's nothing like having a grandson, even from another country, come into your house and bless you. Now, I don't know how many of you guys have children or children's children, I talked to a person who was really frustrated with his one kid, and I says, why are you so frustrated with that kid? So he won't do anything I tell him to do, and I think he might be a teenager. And I said, hey, do you know that God loves him? And he said, oh, yeah. He says, I know God loves him. I said, well, then why can't you love him? You know, we have an opportunity to come close to Jesus Christ right here. You know, one of the things that's on our T-shirts and it tells us that... I can't find anything now. But anyway... You guys can read my shirt in the back. What's it say? What's it say, brother? Dear Jesus. What's the rest of it? Dear Jesus. You're going to make me look for it. It says, here's what it says. I got it right here. Thanks, Judy. I got it. Okay, here it is. Dear Lord Jesus. Okay, now, if you could separate yourself from anybody that's sitting at the table with you or all by yourself at a table, or if you could separate yourself right now and single yourself out, and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, that you don't have a relationship with Him, that you're an unforgivable spirit, unforgivable spirit. It says this: Dear Jesus, dear Lord Jesus, I love you. I love you. Please forgive me and all of my sins, and come into my heart. Come into my heart. One thing about it is that all of us have hearts. Hopefully. I don't know if, you know, some people say he's heartless. But no, God didn't make anybody that way. He made everyone with a heart and a soul and a place to go. So it says that I repent and turn from my, I return from my wicked ways. Please
Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to trust in you as my Lord, and Savior. That's what it says. Amen. Amen. Right, brother. Amen. Okay, now, there's got to be someone in here who's been sitting by themselves at a table or sitting with a crowd of people, and none of you guys, none of you men or women, really have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, guess what? You can have that today. That's why we're here. You can have it today. I have a hard time reading this stuff because I had a stroke, and so it's not good for me to try to read things. But I know this. I know Jesus. I know Him as my personal Savior. I've been a Christian for well over 40 years. I'm a pastor. If that means anything, it's everybody's equal when it comes to pastors and laity. The pastor has as much to take care of with his relationship with the Lord as I do, or you do, or anybody else has. The whole thing is today is a day of your salvation. Today is your day. This is your day. This means that today is your day. Now, I'm talking to the one who's sitting there who's never accepted Christ as his personal Savior, who's never said yes to Jesus. And you know who you are. And it takes a lot of bravery. It takes a lot of nerve. It takes a lot of guts to come up here and kneel at that front. But the biggest and best part about it is that once you do that, you're saved forever. The wisdom of that is that you will live eternally. And you won't have to worry about unforgiveness, because you'll just feel automatically the hope, help, and worry about other people that you care about. I'm not saying that you have to put more money in the kettle at Salvation Army. I'm not saying that you have to do that. I'm only saying this, that for you to get right with God, for you to get right with God, I hope you all heard that, there's only one way, and that is to believe in Him, and that He is the Savior, that He died on the cross for your sins, our sins, my sins. He died on the cross. He paid the debt. And we don't have to pay the debt, because He paid the debt, His own self. He died on the cross. Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Lord, Jesus God Almighty. He died for your sins and mine and everybody else's. So, what should you do? Well, there's the altar. There's not very many places there for it, but we'd make room. We'd make room. Do you really, if what you heard me say is this, you need Jesus. You need Him in your heart. You need Him, the joy of knowing Him, the joy of having a personal Savior that walks and talks with you all the time. That He cares about you. And He doesn't care about the world. He cares only about you and your soul and your way of living. He can change your way of living by accepting Him as a personal Savior. And the rest of the story is you don't have to worry anymore, because you're going to be in heaven with God. And that's what we all want you to do. All of us that are here giving the message, all of us that are here to giving music, all of us are here to giving food, all of us are here that are giving clothing, it's all because of one man, and His name is Jesus. So please, please come forward. In Jesus' name I pray, and that I'm done.